Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our second in our stewardship sermon series has as its text, we read there in 1 Chronicles 29, beginning at 14. And this is part of King David's prayer before his son Solomon began to build the temple. And David prayed, "But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you." This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, dear Christian friends, they will not be quite the same in opulence. Our new sanctuary, even though hopefully it will have a soaring spire this time, and Solomon's temple, yet it shares one thing, the most important thing, actually, with Solomon's temple. And that is God's people giving to the Lord from their hearts. Giving willingly and with integrity. Like David and his subjects, we offer our resources for the building of our new project from the heart. But it's not just for the building project. It's not just for the building up of our house of God. Our giving from the heart is also for upkeep. That continues to come from the heart, as we will need to provide for the added expense of having a larger facility and, like the children of Israel, having a place for the name of our Lord to take out into the world. We give from our abundance, not only for that building up, but also for that upkeep. Who is the giver of all that abundance that we have for ministry, facilities, and activities? Why would God be so generous to us, who a little while ago just confessed that because of our sins of habit and sins of choice, that we deserve to be cast away from his presence forever? King David asks and answers these very same questions. And David's answer applies to our ongoing skill, spiritual skill, of Christian worship. The Lord God fills our hearts and our hands for the grace of giving. We see, first of all, that we do not deserve His generosity. And secondly, we see that we are willing to be generous. You recall I mentioned in my sermon last Sunday that unlike the widow at Zarephath and the widow in the temple, you and I do not have to offer to the Lord from our want. You and I are able to give of our resources, which we all have, in abundance. God has graciously opened His hands and satisfied our desires and given us an abundance of material goods. We are able to offer weekly from our abundance to the Lord for our ministry in all of its phases. David and Israel also at this time were able to give from their abundance for the construction of the first temple. Why? David said, we're able to give generously because, Lord, you've been so generous in what you've given us. Everything we have to give, you have given us first. Now, please remember that Christian stewardship is not merely nor even first about the giving of money. That's part of it. But it is also the management, the use of all of those gifts that Dr. Luther mentions that God gives us in his explanation to the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God created me and all that exists, and that He gave me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my mind, and all my abilities. Those are all things that we use, that God has given us, that we do not deserve. When we read about the gathering of materials and workmen for the building of the temple, it does mention King David and other leaders who gave generously of their gold and silver. But it also mentions carpenters and masonry men and sewers who worked in expensive cloth. It mentions engravers and woodcutters and carvers. It mentions thousands and thousands of workers who offered their strong backs and their sturdy legs to carry and to bear the materials as they brought together. They were brought together for the building of the temple. The leaders set the example, and the people followed. David knew the source of all those available resources. He said, Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. We have been blessed to have an abundance that we were able to commit to helping pray the cost of our building. We have a variety of gifts that have been used in the planning and in the building committee of our new construction. We have many, many gifts that you and I can offer in ongoing work of ministry on the various committees and planning and work that needs to be done that we can offer to the Lord. And we offer it willingly. We offer it with honest intent because we know how generous the Lord has been to us. And what makes all of this so amazing is that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God has been so generous to us because He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, and along with Him freely gives us all things. He has given us our Savior. He has given us our new life and saving faith through holy baptism. He keeps us in faith through the means of grace, has brought us together as members of the Holy Christian Church, and has gathered us in unity as Bethlehem Lutheran Congregation. I ask God, who am I? And who are my people that You should be so generous to us? We're strangers and foreigners to You. We're on this earth just a short period of time, and in ourselves we have no hope. Why would You give us all these things? And the answer lies in David's prayer, where he mentions the holy name. God's holy name, His reputation, is our Savior. He is the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of that changeless promise and mercy from one generation to the next. David was thinking back to what we heard in Genesis. The people of God did not own that land originally. They were strangers and foreigners when God brought them there and gave them the promised land. That was an act of grace to give that land to Abraham and his descendants. It's an act of God's grace that we, who are strangers and aliens because of our sin, are no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. And that's all because everything we have that we give generously, we have because of the generosity of God in Christ. David said, everything comes from You, and we have only what comes from Your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in Your sight. We were all as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. You know, we sang in our sermon hymn this morning about those who have gone before us, and we think about those who have gone before us to start this congregation, many of whom are not here. And yet they can see that ongoing presence and mercy of God to bless the work that they did, to continue to carry out that work that, God willing, we will leave also for our children and for their children. And even if they don't remain here, the place will still be here for others to come and hear God's Word and to have God's Word shared with their children as well. We aren't God's children through natural holiness to be like our holy God. We are the children of God because of the generosity of the gift of our Savior and His calling us to saving faith in Christ. Before the construction of the temple, David thanked God for the abundance of material and human resources that had been given for that construction. And the people gave willingly and with honest intent because, like us, they wanted a place there for them and for their children and for others, for the name of the Lord, for His house. When they would go to the temple, that would strengthen their faith through the offerings and the sacrifices and the priesthood and all the things that pictured for them God's fulfilling His promise to send the Savior. We want, don't we, this place to be here for us and for our children, so that we can come and gather around the name of God, the name of our Lord, who loved us and has forgiven our sins and promises to take us to the temple not built by human hands in heaven. We don't deserve God's generosity. We are willing to give generously because God has given us that new heart. It is the gracious generosity of God for the sake of Christ that opens our hearts and opens our hands to be generous with Him. Christian stewardship is not so much about the tree, about the fruits, as it's about the tree. Christian stewardship is not so much about bigger offerings and fuller participation. It's really about bigger hearts. It's really about fuller faith. Generosity in Christian stewardship is really about the bigness of God and the bigness of His gifts to us, especially the gift of our Savior. We believe and confess because of that bigness of God's heart. And David says, Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you. God tests our hearts and is pleased when He sees integrity and willingness in our generosity. And He's pleased with it because He put it there. And because He keeps it there. And because He moves it to move us to be more faithful as His children. The proper management of first article endowments is about the largesse of our God that moves us in our willing generosity of all we are and all we have. Who are we to be able to do such things? We are nothing of ourselves, but we are everything through the gospel, by which the Holy Spirit has made us God's children. We give generously because we receive generously. We give willingly because God gave willingly. This generous faith comes solely by the Father's undeserved love of Jesus' cross and the empty tomb. I'll close this morning with the verse just before the beginning of our text, which is part of David's prayer. And pray along with me in your hearts as a summary to the truth that moves us, that the Lord God fills our hearts and our hands for the grace of giving. David prayed, "Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Amen."